This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sinner and the Saint. A shadowy flight into the dangerous world of men who do not exist. Luke Anderson, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, and men 25 to 54 with a median household income of $78,000 per year.
Now, there is one exception to that.
No one cares.
Shh, watch your mouth.
Will Darkins, a disappointing Oregon State fullback with a receding hairline, desperately trying to hold on to the past.
Don't mind that I'm just kind of sitting there looking into space.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show, powered by Frost Brewed Coors Light. A brilliant, imaginative, unrestrained exercise or display.
Chinese guys are paying.
On 1080, The Fan.
Oh.
You forgot about that.
No, I didn't forget
There's
about
the
it.
Samurai.
It's just so dramatic. Yeah, you love that sounder. Well done on that, by the way. I'm bleeding, though.
What?
I'm bleeding.
The hell's wrong with you?
Well, we were horsing around in the break there, and you threw me a football pass that was, I don't blame you completely. It was a bad pass, but you had a low trajectory.
Don't blame me at all. It was a back shoulder fade.
Yeah, but you had a low ceiling. You threw it on the wrong trajectory. Anyways.
Put your damn hands up.
Listen. Couldn't quite get to it, but my nails are too long, and I put one of my hands into the other, and I ripped off a big chunk of skin, so now my finger's bleeding.
It's not bleeding that bad.
No, it's not, but it's still bleeding.
I got to tell you something. That is...
It's an irritant. I won't say it's not dramatic. It's not Gordon Hayward. It's not the worst injury I've ever had, but it's an irritant.
So by the time you reach about 30 or maybe your late 20s, you start to develop your old man injury. Everybody does right?
Yep.
You have your shoulder.
Yep. My non-throwing shoulder, which is good news.
I separated it
when I was 19 snowboarding, and it's never been the same.
I have my knees.
Yep.
Everybody has it. 55305 Bridgeport Beers text line. I want to hear what your old man injury is.
I want to chime in on this a little bit because.
Yes, please, Joe.
Wait, how old are you, Joe?
I'm 25, going to be 26.
You don't qualify. Nobody wants to hear it.
Nobody
wants to hear
it. I want to hear it.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, no.
Very rude.
So I went and got a massage like a month ago, and the lady, because I got a pretty bad lower back, she was feeling back there. And as soon as she touched my lower right back, she said, "You need to go see a doctor. That thing is giving out." A couple times in the last year. And yeah, I'm only 25. I still got a lot of years before I should start having back problems for my
goodness.
Yeah,
no,
that's
dude, not good.
I no, but it's you can develop the old man injury at that age.
Well, now, again, it starts young. So I mentioned it. So I think I was like maybe 19, and I separated my left shoulder snowboarding. And anytime I wake up after sleeping my left shoulder, it's agony. Like, and that was probably for 4 or 5 years.
Did you hurt your shoulder shredding gnar?
I did. I was totally shredding some gnar, and then went down. Knocked myself out, woke up, and I couldn't move my left arm above my shoulder.
I said, Patrick, somebody help me.
Yeah.
Get me to the cabin.
Honestly, I woke up, and there was a group of skiers standing around me, and they're like, dude, are you okay? And I had no idea how long I'd been on the ground and how I got there. I don't remember the crash. And then I got to the bottom of the hill, and I went to pick up my snowboard. I couldn't pick it up with my left arm. And so I picked it up with my right arm. I tried to lift my left arm up. I couldn't get it over my head. And so that's been the nagging one. Now I still need to get an MRI of my left shoulder. It's in bad shape. But how many times did you dislocate your knees?
I had five each, maybe.
See, that's crazy to me.
So there was a time when I dislocated one of my knees when we were playing Stanford, and I was on kickoff return. As you can see, there's a trend here, kickoff return, punt return.
Yeah.
I was on kickoff return, and I was in the wedge, and I went and just threw my head into somebody. And then, as a wedge forms, more people come in and more.
Yep.
And somebody went underneath me, sideswiped me, dislocated my knee. I fall on the ground. I start screaming because I think that I've torn something, because it felt like that at that point. You know,
yeah.
Everybody that's ever torn or popped something, they always go, I knew it. I knew it just from the minute. I thought that was the case. Didn't happen, luckily. But anyway, I'm on the ground, and that was the time when Richard Sherman was playing at Stanford. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, ah, I'm screaming. And Sherman comes over at me, looks down at me, sees that I'm screaming, and then he screams over at all the other guys on my team, who, by the way, nobody's checking on me. Everybody's just running to the sideline.
Well, you're a fullback. Who cares?
Well, but I would have appreciated a little bit of support. The only support I have is Richard Sherman, who's looking over me. He screams back at the dudes who are on my team, yo, you got to get your boy somebody out here. He's really hurt. And in my mind, I'm thinking, thank you, Richard Sherman. At least someone cares about me.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm not going to insult him and make him out to be the bad guy, because he's a caring, considerate person sometimes.
Richard
he cared
Sherman
about
loves
me that
you.
Day.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you got hurt right now, if you dislocated your knee in front of him again, I think he'd still care.
I think he'd call me.
So, Joe, what led to your back injury? Because I'm in a way better shape than you guys. Left shoulder, who cares? Non-throwing shoulder, I'm fine. Yeah. But knees and back seem like the worst. Did you have an injury that led to that?
Well, honestly, and the back one is the worst part, because it's literally there. I've never had an injury, nothing concerning my back or anything. It's been the last year or so. Maybe it's, you know, the daddy back lifting up the boy over the last 4 years or something like that. I mean, just improper lifting over my years. That's, the workers out there should take a note of that. I mean, it's bad. And then the knees, too. I mean, I played catcher.
Ooh.
When I played baseball, I played catcher from, you know, third grade to when I finished in high school, I think freshman, sophomore year. And just up and down like that on the knees. You should hear them. It sounds like Jiffy Pop when I go down and up on my, like, it is bad.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
From the Bridgeport Bears text line 55305, Luke, rank the following people in terms of throwing a football: Tim Tebow, Taylor Alley, Will Darkins. I'm better than all of them.
Oh yeah, I think
I throw an extremely tight spiral.
I will say that you do, and you throw it with pop. There's very few sounds that I enjoy more than when you catch a football and it has that real good pop from a tight spiral. Oh yeah, Will Darkins by far. Now,
well, I had to set the tone coming here, because I saw some sales guys and I said I need to impress them. I need to make sure that everybody knows that I'm the top dog here. That, you know, I'm going to throw a football good, what, 40, 50 yards, you think?
Easily. But that
easily.
Was that
That's
was
off
that
the
was
back foot.
Yeah, I was gonna say back foot. That was moving too. Because here's the thing about Will Darkins is he doesn't just do a straight drop back and throw. He needs to get out of the pocket. And he needs to get. That's where he throws it best. So he's you know, simulating a rollout.
Like Russell Wilson.
We were driving an F-150 at him to simulate pressure. And and the thing is, he threw in there and even took the hit from the truck. So
I did.
That's what's important to know.
I did. Still standing, too.
Let's move from one great quarterback to another, from Will Darkins to Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. They're traveling to New York to take on the Giants at the Meadowlands this weekend. So we've got a 1-5 New York Giants team hosting a 3-2 Seattle Seahawks team.
You couldn't have asked for
Is this a must win for both teams?
Oh, this is like a nice shore up game for the Seahawks more than anything. The Giants are.
Well, Giants are in must win situation in every game right now, right?
I don't think they're even in must win. I think it's must survive at this point, because really this rest of the season, to me, at least when you look at it, right, Odell Beckham Jr. is done for the year. Your defense isn't as good as you thought it would be. Eli Manning is now showing his age. At this point, you're just kind of hoping you get out of this season alive, and then you figure out how you can trade Eli to then kind of build the team up again. For the Seahawks, though, this is the perfect shore-up game to really give yourself some confidence.
Coming off a bye week.
You're coming off a bye week, and you're also coming off a game against the Rams that, in my opinion, you should have lost. The offense, to me, just looks
I would
so...
say could have lost. Should have lost is...
Oh, man, the offense looks so scattered. I know the defense is holding things up, but now you're losing Cliff Avril.
But you played without Cliff Avril in that game.
You did. But you're without Cliff Avril. You have a secondary that every single game looks older and older. And at the same time, too,
they do get older.
Sheldon Richardson hasn't been as good as I thought he would have. You know what I mean? He didn't really meet expectations to what I thought the trade value was. I miss Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah,
but
they were going to cut Jermaine Kearse anyways. It wasn't trading an asset that they were going to hang on to. And they, you know. if you're already going to get rid of the guy, they got something back for him, which is important. But the injuries to the defensive line have been made it very difficult because Michael Bennett's been fighting that heel all year as well.
Yeah.
So you look at that and you go, okay, well, you've got your two best pass rushers in Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, and they're both out. Sheldon Richardson is supposed to be a guy that can go in and get after it. You're still developing Frank Clark, who I think can be a great player, and he hasn't really necessarily filled in, you know, as that next superstar on the defensive line, but they've been good. Part of the problem with the defense is they're on the field too much.
Yeah.
And that's where the offense needs to go out. What the Seahawks need to do is they need to go out and just go, all right, guys, we're down 14. I know it's 0-0, but just imagine you're down 14. Because when they get down, they're fine.
Well,
they can go
and
they can move
the
ball, and they need to go through Russell Wilson first. That's when they're at their best, right?
Yeah. Is when they're doing the hurry-up offense and they're letting Russell Wilson get out of the pocket. But that's not sustainable. It's just not in the NFL. It works when you're at the end of the game because you have a defense that's basically putting the entire secondary back. I get that. But if you want to do hurry-up all game and then you want to rush four or five guys against an offensive line that's terrible, hey, go for it.
Listen, I'm not saying you necessarily go hurry up, but you do not have the run game like you did when you had Marshawn Lynch and you were going to back-to-back Super Bowls. You can't lead with the running game exclusively and put yourself in third and long situations and every first quarter possession that you have, most of the second quarter possessions that you have, and then you're playing from behind in every game. That's not sustainable. So what you need to do is you need to give Russell Wilson the opportunity to get out of the pocket. The one thing that happens when Russell Wilson can go and create things for himself is he gets down really well and he gets out of bounds very well. The problem is when you just do a straight drop back on third and long and everybody in the building knows you're passing, then you can put pressure on it, and now he's getting hit. And what you can do is give yourself an advantage by using your short passing game and using Russell Wilson's legs early in possession so you can have a third and four instead of a third and 14.
Did you see his advertisements recently for Alaska Airlines?
No, I didn't actually. So, I meant to look those up because you've been throwing little jabs about them. Explain them to me.
It's basically the whole setup is that he's the host of a talk show and then he comes out from
I hate it already.
Well, yeah, and you know, I don't want to see him as a talk show host, but he comes out and he's in this, you know, bow tie. And basically the whole joke is that he's trying to say to his music guy or his sidekick, like, hey, how great are the rates on Alaska Airlines? And then the guy is like kind of fumbling and kind of stupid, right? He's like, oh, I don't have that information in front of me. And it just kind of, again, perpetuates the whole idea about Russell Wilson, which is like, he's always just going to be a little bit better than you. You know what I mean? Like, your life might be great, but, you know, he's married to Sierra, which, by the way, he didn't have any premarital relations with before. BS. That's complete BS.
And it's a second marriage. So, first of all, like, I'm saving myself for my second wife.
Oh, we all forgot about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Give me a break. That commercial, to me, they got to make that guy a lot more human than he really is. Because at this point, they made him human by, and I don't think they made him do this, but they really kind of showed him doing volunteer work and kind of getting out in the community. That's all great. But now,
Tuesdays at the Children's Hospital.
It's just been completely blanketed by the idea that Russell Wilson thinks he's better than you.
Can I tell you something?
Well, you can.
Russell Wilson is better than you.
No, he's not. He's not. I refuse to believe it. I refuse.
We've got a huge day of college football. There are two big top 25 matchups. We've got the Ducks traveling down to Los Angeles to take on the UCLA Bruins. We dive into Pac-12 and more next when we return on The Sinner and the Saint right here on 1080 The Fan.
The Sinner and the Saint tailgate with Luke Anderson and Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
Whenever I hear this song, I always think about Goodfellas.
Yeah. You know who this is?
No. Is this Tom Waits?
No.
Oh, sorry. Rolling
Harry
Stones,
Nilsson.
Right?
No. Jumping too high. It's Harry Nilsson. Harry Nilsson. Do you know anything about Harry Nilsson?
I don't know.
You don't have to.
He's got a great name.
There's a documentary about him called Who the F is Harry Nilsson? And it's great.
You should watch that.
You should. I highly recommend that anybody go and find it. But anyways, that's who's singing this little song. But yeah, nothing wrong with referring back to Goodfellas. Hey, we're out at Tailgate Days. We're at Vancouver Ford, the Big Ford store over in Vancouver. It's a beautiful day here. I don't know about the rest of the Portland Metro, but it's about 75, sunny right here. It looks like it's cloudy around us, but right here it seems like there's just sunbeams pointing down on us because we're in the right spot.
Yeah, air conditioning is great.
Yeah, exactly. We need to cool down. We need to get inside. But that's where we are. Big Sook was supposed to join us, but send him well wishes. He's not feeling well. Go into your Twitter machines and shoot him goodwills. He's apparently got some sort of infectious disease that is slowly killing him from the inside out.
He basically got the poops.
Yeah, he may not survive the weekend. So, just say your goodbyes to Big Sook and
How surprising would that be?
It'd be awful. Well, if it happens now, I'll feel terrible.
What if we got that on Monday? What if we came in and they were like, oh, my God, you didn't hear? He died. And we're like, are you serious? What did he die from? The poops.
What?
Like, what? Yeah, excuse me?
Yeah. Like, Luke was making fun of him on the weekend.
Oh, so what? He just – oh, so it was something else then, right? He had an infection. And they're like, no, the doctor said it's the poops.
All of his insets came out.
That would derail that wouldn't even derail my week. That would derail my year. Like, the rest of the year, I probably couldn't do anything. Yeah. If a coworker who I've worked with closely for the past 2.5 to 3 years, if that happened, if he died of the poops,
I'm getting, now I'm on the fence whether I'm, like, if that happened, I kind of want to know what happened.
I'm sending everybody a voicemail. Good Lord.
All your loved ones right now when you get a chance.
We want to talk to you. All I can think about is Sook with the poops. Died on the toilet like Elvis.
Try to think about this. So as opposed to last week in college football, this week we've got two top 25 matchups. And I think they're great. I mean, they're big names, and I know that you're madly in love with number 2 Penn State.
I am, yeah.
I know.
I'm a Saquon Barkley fan, man.
I think Trace McSorley doesn't get enough attention because Saquon Barkley is so good. But remember that Iowa game at the end? That was not a run play that they had. I will say Saquon Barkley had a very nice block on that play, but that was Trace McSorley leading his team down the field for the most part and finding his tight end in the back of the end zone.
Trace McSorley also has the greatest alcoholic name ever.
Oh, there's no question about that. You mean Trace?
Oh, Trace, yeah.
Is your name Trace or Tracy? I don't know. I'm slurring a lot, so you can't really tell.
Tracy McSorley. That's even better, dude.
Any story
about Trace McSorley has to start with, well, we were drinking a lot.
Oh yeah. Oh, so we're out with Trace.
Yeah.
McSorley. We're doing Boilermakers, mm-hmm. and we're doing Jaeger bombs, and we're doing Irish car bombs, and that was to start the night.
Yeah.
And
then Trace got in his truck and he was like, "Hey, everybody, hop in the back."
Yeah.
Next thing I knew, we were at the coast.
So, number 2 Penn State is hosting number 19.
That's not crazy of a story.
19, no, it's not. We went to the coast, and we all watched the sunrise.
Actually, that makes Trace sound awesome.
And then Trace pulled out his guitar and started playing some. He played some Bob Dylan. He played
Bought everyone lunch.
Yeah. And he started playing a lot of Brian Adams, and it was really cool.
Trace is a good guy.
Yeah. He made everybody hot cocoa, put a little schnapps in it, but he made everybody hot cocoa and watched the sunrise. He had extra blankets in his truck, so everybody was nice and warm and toasty.
If Trace wasn't such an angry drunk, I'd love that guy.
And then he started fist fighting everybody.
That son of a bitch.
So Penn State hosting Michigan today. Other than the drunken brawl after the game, what do you expect from this? Now, Michigan's only loss is against Michigan State in the pouring down rain. Mm-hmm. And you don't expect a ton of offense, but their defense, unquestionably great. Are they going to be able to slow down Penn State?
Well, you know, for Penn State, this is kind of your rough road now, right? You get Michigan, you get Ohio State, and then who else you got?
You still have Michigan State on the schedule.
You still have Michigan State. Yeah. You know, this is really proven if you can be the number 2 team. And, I mean, if you can make it out of these 3 games going 3-0, I think you can even survive with one more loss and you're still getting into the playoff at this point. Penn State, I'm all on board because they seem to know where their strengths are. As much as we joke about Trace McSorley, he's somebody who doesn't have a great arm but really can work with his feet. Mm-hmm. And him and Saquon Barkley in that backfield, I think, are absolutely incredible. The Iowa game, to me, was my favorite game of the college football season so far.
Electric at the end.
It was absolutely incredible.
The atmosphere there at Iowa, and that's a really tough place to play. And I don't think Iowa gets enough credit for how good they've been for how long they've been good.
The other game I want to talk about is USC Notre Dame. And
I just want real quick before we get off Penn State. So this is Penn State's schedule if you don't know it. Michigan this week, Ohio State next week, Michigan State. Then they finish out Rutgers, Nebraska, Maryland. So they get a little bit of a reprieve at the end. But it's these next 3 weeks where if Saquon Barkley wants to win a Heisman Trophy, he needs to have a big game in one of these. And if they want to be a Big Ten champion, I guess they'd be a repeat.
College football playoff.
But a repeat champion. But they were the champions last year. But you need to go out and you need to make a statement today. And you need to make one against Ohio State. And now Michigan State, I believe, is ranked. They're 18th after their win against Michigan. So you've got three ranked opponents here. So it's a big stretch for them. Now, moving to USC, Notre Dame. Why do you care about this game?
Well, I care because, one, it kind of gives you a gauge for USC again. Because USC, to me, is still the most mysterious team in the Pac-12. They can win all the games they want. They can beat Cal. They can beat Oregon State. But then they go up against Washington State.
Washington State's a good team.
But they look so inept. And so now you're kind of looking at the Pac-12 South and you're saying to yourself, is there really that much talent there? Like, Colorado, to me, at the very beginning of the season, was the most mysterious team because I was like, well, the defense is there, but now Sefa Lufau's gone. Like, are they still going to be that good?
Yeah, but Steven Montes made some appearances last year early on because Lufau, and he looked good.
But this game, more than anything, also on the other side, if I look at Notre Dame, this is really a Brian Kelly hot seat game. Now, I'm not saying if he loses this game, he's going to get fired, but it's going to give more reason to fans to really pressure the university to say, we got to get this guy out. It sounds ridiculous. Brian Kelly has taken this team to a national title and has been incredible in recruiting.
Yeah, but they're 4-8 last year. And let me frame this game out just
Notre
for anybody.
Dame, you have to be competing on the national level single year.
Number 11 USC, their only loss is – as bad as they looked, it was a close game. They had a chance to win that game against Washington State, but that's their only loss. They're number 11 in the country. Notre Dame's only loss is a 1-point loss to Georgia, who is undefeated at this point. And that was an early game, opening game of the season, I believe.
I think it was second.
Second week?
Maybe second or third, yeah.
But they're at home, so they're hosting USC. But I think, if Notre Dame can go through their schedule – they really have a chance to put themselves in a position where they're in the talk for the college football playoff. Because I don't see TCU staying undefeated. Obviously, you won't have Alabama and Georgia go undefeated because they'll meet in the championship game if they go to that point. But let's just look at the schedule for Notre Dame because this is kind of fun to do. So you've got North Carolina State is the number 16 team in the country. Mm-hmm. Then they have Wake Forest. Then they play number 8 Miami. At least they're number 8 right now.
It'd be hard, yep.
Then Navy, and they finish with number 22 Stanford.
That's a rough go, man. Well, but that's rough go. Navy's a really good team. Miami's a really good team. Stanford is a tricky good team. They'll lose games, but it doesn't matter. They'll wear you out. All I'm saying is
– we were talking about Penn State, how you've got a stretch that you have to go through. Yeah. Notre Dame can be a college football playoff team.
They can, but you have a foundation and a fan base and a university that basically has higher expectations than what their reality is. They think that every single year – they should be competing for the college football playoff. But in reality, Notre Dame is never going to get to that point unless they really join into a conference. Now, they'll never do that because of the money that you get from NBC and the independent funding you can get. But all I'm saying is when you have this weird schedule, one loss literally just throws you out of it. If they lose to USC today, I guarantee there's no way in hell they'll get.
Well, they're never going to make it in as a two-loss team. That's why they have to run through the schedule. But look at the other side of that. Both of these games, really, and that's why they're so intriguing to me. Because Michigan, if they beat Penn State and then beat Ohio State, there's no reason that they can't resurge. I don't think it's a detrimental loss to lose to Michigan State. And USC's loss to Washington State, I don't think puts them out of contention for it. But both sides of these two games, the teams need to win out, and it starts today, and that's why these two games are intriguing. The only problem I have with it, and I wish there was some sort of flex scheduling that could go into play, they're playing at the same time. They're both at 4:30, and so you have to go back and forth or DVR one of the games, and you can't sit down and watch both of these games because this, to me, is the point in the college football season where you know enough about the teams where you can pick a game, sit down, and watch the entire thing and learn a lot about the team that wins, and I think that's one of the problems that college football has with their scheduling. But other than that, this is going to be a great day of college football.
Yeah, I just wish I was – are they playing at Penn State?
They're playing at Penn State, and they're playing at Notre Dame. Those are the –
dude, Could you imagine what the weekend's going to be like for Trace if they win this game?
Oh, God, Trace is going to get rip-roaring faded, bro.
Oh, my God, dude. We're going to hop in Trace's F-150, which, by the way, you can get a sweet F-150 here at Vancouver Ford.
That's true, but you can't get a 1998 F-150 like they have.
Trace McSorley's, which, by the way, Trace's has a little painting near the handle that says Trace in, like, a Jokerman font.
Yep, and the front left quarter panel is a different color than everything else. It's just primer gray. It doesn't match everything.
I don't think we even had to say that.
Still a sweet truck. And listen, everybody's going to the coast. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a brotastic time.
Yeah. Trace, but by the way, though, Trace's girlfriend, she's super hot. And she drinks a lot. And you got to watch out because she's going to hit on you. And Trace is going to get pissed if you start touching her.
Yeah. But guess what? She'll not only hit on you, she'll hit you, too. She'll punch you. She's going to be in right cross.
Yeah.
She'll knock you out. There's no question about it. Professional baseball is coming to Portland. I'm excited. That is next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan. First show with sports.
The Center and the Saint tailgate with Luke Anderson and Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
That's right. It's tailgate time, brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, the tailgate show. This is what we do. We're out at Vancouver Ford. We are hanging out for tailgate days. We've got salesmen in jerseys. We've got cars flying off the lot. There's still some available, but you better hurry if you want to save all the great pricing they have right on the windows. All you have to do is come down and pick out yours. It's pretty much as simple as that.
And it's hard for me to focus on all these deals because of this text I got from my girlfriend this morning.
Please tell me the text.
It's pretty disconcerting.
Okay.
She woke up this morning and went to the bathroom, and when she opened the door, our cat was all four legs in the bowl.
What's wrong with that?
That's disturbing behavior.
Sure.
Wait till the cat is just sitting in the she's literally sitting in the water, and then my girlfriend tries to pick her up, and she takes her front paw and just flicks water at her.
Sure.
Why is she doing that?
Because she's like a cat.
Well, but that's not normal.
I think it is. My cat does the same thing. We have to close all the lids now for two reasons. A, the cat. B, the children. So we've got twin girls that are now walking, just started walking, mm-hmm. and if they get anywhere near an open toilet bowl, guess what they're doing? They're playing in it. And they're trying to climb.
They just get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I mean, think of the IQ level of a cat. It's not that high. Same thing with a baby.
My cat's IQ's high.
Same thing with a baby. They're just not bright. They have not.
So are you saying that your cat and your kids have the same IQ level?
Probably. Pretty close. Yeah, I would say so.
God, if your wife could hear you now.
No, we've had this discussion. They both just want to kind of get to the toilet and climb inside. The kids will get smarter. The cat won't. That's where they're at. I don't think it's that unrealistic.
Yeah.
The kids are on a much better trajectory than the cat. I will say that. But the cat's about as smart as it's going to get.
Well, it's concerning because, you know, you get this cat and you think that, you know, she's going to be well behaved, and you try as hard as you can to make her in the
listen,
best
will,
cat you can.
Will,
and then she's just
interrupt.
Sitting in the bowl.
Nobody cares about your cat. So let's move on. Here's what everybody does care about.
About my cat.
Nobody cares about your cat except for you and your girlfriend. Is
care
that fair?
About my cat.
Yeah. Shut up. Here's what people do care about, and this came up this week, and the fact that even you are excited is surprising to me, but there is a big rumor that Major League Baseball could be coming to Portland. Now, let me tell you why this is very important that this happens to me.
Sure.
And I tweeted this out earlier on Twitter, and you can go and you can look at the article, but I think it was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all the Mariners updates on my phone. So when something happens, if they were to fire their coach or something, is what you would expect this time of year.
You're an insider.
Whatever, right? So I've got my insider updates from the Mariners.
Yeah.
The insider update that I get from the Mariners 2 days before the World Series is set, right? So you've got two games left. And at the point, it was going into a deciding game. So you could have possibly seen that, you know, if the Astros or the Yankees had won, we could have had the World Series matchup. This is what baseball should be caring about. The Mariners sent out an article, and I think this was through their SB Nation page, on how to turn your old, unworn Mariners T-shirts into a reusable grocery bag.
That's pretty awesome.
No, it's terrible, and I need a new team, and it needs to be here in Portland.
I mean, that's what you would expect, though, out of the Mariners. Like, what other news story you're going to put out there? Like, hey, Scott Servais is not fired yet.
How about you just don't say anything? Or how about you go, hey, congratulations to Chris Taylor, former Mariner, winning a NLCS MVP for the Dodgers, which is another
Nobody
great
wants
news
to hear
story.
That because then that's going to depress you as a fan. That
it did
not
depress me
anymore.
As a fan, but that's the other news going on. There's nothing going on. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Just shut up. I don't need to know how to turn in a King Felix T-shirt that I don't wear into a reusable grocery bag to show my fandom 2 days before the World Series. Why don't you shut up and watch? Let's watch real baseball. Just because the Mariners have never been to a World Series and probably never will. And here's the other reason it's important is if we have a team in Portland, they actually have a chance to win something. That would be nice.
Goodness.
Why do you want a team in Portland?
Good Lord.
Stupid Mariners.
So bitter. Why do I want a team in Portland? Because
you are not a baseball fan.
No, I'm not a baseball fan at all. I can't watch baseball. I watch baseball when it gets to the postseason and World Series. I'll do that. But for the most part, I find baseball to be really boring, slow, and too many players go to different teams for me to actually keep up with personalities. But when I think about a team in Portland, it then gets me that whole idea that there's something I can attach to. There's something that I can actually go to on the weekends or on the weekdays. I can, crap out on work and just go to a game.
Sure.
To me, that is extremely appealing. And there's that whole idea that you're now going to have an identity to it. And I also like the idea that now I can wear a baseball cap with not the Mariners logo on it, with something cool like a log or like an axe or something, because we'll be the Lumberjacks, right?
Well, no. I mean, we'll probably be the Platypus.
I don't want to be the Platypus.
Or the Pickles. I mean, we already have the Portland Pickles.
I don't want to be the Pickles either. And I don't want to be the Beavers, because there were the Portland Beavers. You remember them? Yeah. And then the Portland Rockies. And there was all the, AAA ball or whatever it was.
Hey, yeah, and you have the Hillsboro Hops. And
I think I got an idea. How about the
Portland Pints?
The Portland Pints. Willamettes.
Oh, that's terrible. Thanks, Joe.
Not terrible.
Go back to your Sudoku.
It's named after me.
That's the West. That's the West Coast Mets right there. The Willa.
No,
Mets.
I know what you're saying. The Mets are awful. Just go back to your Sudoku, Joe.
I don't know how to do Sudokus. Too many numbers.
You don't.
I don't either.
One through nine.
I look at a Sudoku.
Just can't do it.
That's too many. That's
dude,
too many
I look
numbers.
At a Sudoku puzzle and it looks like Chinese to me.
Yeah, I'll take out a Sudoku right now.
Now, if it was Japanese, that's a different story. I still don't know.
Okay. Very helpful. Joe, how do you feel about baseball coming to Portland?
Oh, God, please, baby, please. I want baseball in Portland so bad. I'm tired of being the one fiddle town. I'd be happy with hockey, but I love baseball way more than hockey. It's probably, I would say, my second favorite sport. So I'm going to – the tough thing is the question of would I give up my Orioles fandom for the hometown team. I think over time, over the years, I would, but God, it'd be really tough. I love my O's.
Well, and presuming that if you were to bring a team in, they would probably be an NL team, or it's been suggested that they disband the two leagues altogether and do 18 divisions. That was actually suggested in the article that brought up this conversation.
Well, I think one of the other big things that really draws more attention, at least for me, if we did get a baseball team, was now you'd get some big names that actually come to the city that I want to go watch. Like,
sure.
I would be super interested to go to a game and see
Bryce Harper
live. Yeah. Like, or see Pujols or see Mike Trout.
Okay,
like,
Pujols won't be around. But, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it would just be awesome to see those guys live. Yep. I mean, even though I'm not really interested in baseball, I still like following some of the personalities that way. And I think that brings a little bit more life to the city. And, the whole excuse of, like, well, Portland, you can't bring a new franchise here that, it just doesn't mix very well with the culture that's here. And I get that because, soccer is a really huge deal here. But if you look at the MLS as a league in total, it's doing awful.
Yep.
But if you take
MLB as a whole, the league's doing
it's
wonderfully.
Really doing well.
It is. And it's baseball is just so regional. And having a team in your backyard, and like you said, being able to go and catch a game. And listen, I mean, I love the Mariners and I root for them. And usually at the beginning of the season, I'm watching three or four games or listening to three or four games a week. And then as the season goes on, as you realize that they're not going to make the playoffs, you go back and you kind of check in weekly. But it's great to see what's going on and have the updates and doing that. But it gets harder and harder to get to Seattle. And now with kids and stuff, it's, this is the first year in,
a while
that I haven't been to Seattle to see a game during a season. But having a team in your own backyard, it'd be great, especially when you can bring your kids out and have them attached to a team. You can skip high school and go watch a game.
Real quick before the break, where do we build the stadium?
The suggestion is Lentz Park. They go and they just take out that space. So where the baseball field is that the Pickles play at, what they could do is just take out the park around it and turn
blow
that into a stadium. Yep. And I think it's a great idea. It's just, do you have the funding to do it? Mike Barrett, the former broadcaster for the Blazers, is part of a group that is trying to get the funding, trying to get a stadium built, but you've got a space to do it. It adds a nice feature over on the east side, so you can do community development around it. I mean, just look at Detroit, which was worst case scenario. They put in their ballpark and their complex right in downtown, and the growth that's going on around it would be a great way to revitalize the east side of Portland. So I think there's a lot of good that comes from it outside of just having another team to root for. If you're a baseball fan, if you're not a baseball fan, more importantly, let us know what you think of baseball coming to Portland. 55305 is Bridgeport Beer's text line. We'll be right back with Crystal Balls, Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
The Center and the Saint tailgate with Luke Anderson and Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Center and the Saint. That shoe flew by. It's always fun when we come out to Vancouver Ford. It's always a good time. We got to throw around the football a little bit. We both bought a new car. I got a truck, and you got another Focus.
Yeah, I had somewhere. 12 grand to put down.
So, yeah.
It was pretty sweet. I got to tell you something. I wish they would teach college kids or just, you know, whenever you're 18 or whatever, teach you about your credit score.
Do they not do that?
I don't think most people learn about credit scores until you either get to college or you get in your 20s when you realize that, like, oh, if I don't make my payments on time, like, it's going to dip.
No, I think that's the first thing you learn, isn't it?
Well, may tell you that, but you don't learn it. I think most people don't learn it.
Well, but that's a problem. It's not that it's not being taught. It's that people don't learn anything. What did you actually learn in school? What do you know from school?
Which school?
Any school that you went to.
Any school?
Yeah.
Oh, any school?
But you learned what you chose to learn. You know what I mean? Like there. How many tests?
But that's like a basic thing. That's how, like, as an adult.
Okay,
That's like learning how to walk as a kid to, like, adult-wise, like, learning how to use your credit card. Because then you realize it's like, oh, crap, if I don't have a good credit score, I can't get a good house. I can't get a great car. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those things that, like, hit you hard, and you're like, oh, my God, now I have to really pay attention to this.
Okay, but I guess my question would be is, if you went back and had to take any of the tests, any of the finals, any of the classes that you took, how many would you actually pass?
Oh, well, you're asking the wrong question. Did I pass any in the first place?
There you go.
No, I didn't.
Fair point. You were a football player, so probably the wrong guy to ask.
Oh, man, they let me pass. You remember that movie, right? The Program? Where he's like, see that? Says Adidas? That was me.
Well, let's go to a different kind of test then. Let's test your knowledge of what's going to happen in college football in the NFL.
Let's do it.
And we'll start with
I'm ready.
We'll start with the Pac-12, and the first game of consequence being played will be at 1:00. That's Oregon at UCLA. UCLA -6.
God, this is a tough one for me because with Oregon, it's kind of like, well, you cannot throw the ball because Burmeister pretty much looks like a D version of Chase Daniel at Missouri.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Okay.
I was reaching back in that one. But
yeah.
I almost want to take Oregon because I feel like UCLA's defense is crappy enough that they'll realize it and go, okay, let's just give Royce Freeman the ball as much as we can, get Benoit involved in the run game too. And, I mean, if you can get enough pressure on Rosen, he'll start throwing picks. I think he had 3 picks last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Oregon over this one. I'm going to pick against.
I think UCLA probably wins the game, but I don't think it's by more than a field goal. I mean, UCLA is perpetually in games, and the one thing about Josh Rosen is sometimes he makes poor decisions at the end of games, but he's about 50-50 on it. He doesn't always make the wrong decision, but I think UCLA wins the game, but I think it's going to be really close. So I'll take Oregon with the points, but it should be an interesting game because I think it is. It's not a must win because I don't think Willie Taggart has a ton to prove this year, and losing
a quarterback.
He already
proved it. Well, yeah. He already did. They couldn't if they didn't win one more game, he would get slid by.
Of course. That
would just be because of if Justin Herbert came back next week and then they lost the rest of the games.
Yeah, then
you're kind of like,
quarterback gives you room, but I think it'll be a close game. We'll move to the late game first, and it's Colorado at Washington State. So Washington State played their first 5 games at home, and now they only have 2 home games. This is one of them in their final 5 games. So they're hosting Colorado, and they're favored by 10. It's a 7:45 kick on ESPN.
Yeah, I'll definitely take the Cougs in this one. I think they had a stumble. Against Cal, and Cal's one of those tricky teams where really they can sneak up on you any week. Sometimes they'll play bad, sometimes they'll play extremely up to your level and just figure you out on the offensive side. And I also think somebody like Luke Falk is kind of a choppy quarterback where he has to get into a rhythm, but he was pressured so much in that game where he couldn't even really complete a pass. Now, some of the throws that he did make...
He completed a lot of passes to Cal.
Yeah, he did. And some of the throws he made were pretty crappy, like throwing into cover two or just throwing
into
behind
receivers,
yeah.
A little bit high. Because a lot of those picks were tipped and they weren't off that much, but they're off.
But you got to believe that Mike Leach will think about that and start letting him throw some checkdowns early in the game, give his confidence up a little bit, and they'll pull out with the win.
And you can blame the Washington State team for cooging it all you want, but one of the things that they do is they bounce back. I mean, remember they lose to Portland State and
Eastern
Washington.
I'll be the first one to say that I was wrong about the Cougs because I really was. I thought that they just genuinely would suck. They just always have the ability to just suck down the road. I don't think so at this point, man. I think they're for real this year.
Yeah, and I think, Colorado, too, being pressed by the Beavers last week. I don't know if that means they're a worse team or the Beavers are playing a little bit over
I think,
their
they
heads.
Were playing some spirit there.
Yeah, there's definitely some spirit going on. But it's a tough place to play in Pullman, and I'll take Washington State as well. And let's go to the biggest game. And it's not a Pac-12 game, but it's USC taking on Notre Dame. We've already talked about it a little bit. Who you got? Notre Dame -4.
What? Notre Dame is...
They're the home team.
Oh, and they're, interesting.
It's 11 against 13. Yeah. They're both one-loss teams. On paper, this is about as even as you can get.
Yeah, it really is. It's a lot more even than I thought. Notre Dame's favored.
Well, you figure the home team gets 3 points just for being the home team. They get one more because they played a tougher schedule, I guess. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. This is a tough game to pick because Sam Darnold is a player that's so unpredictable and on the road really hasn't played that great. Even against Cal, he didn't play that well. And obviously, he didn't play very well at Washington State. And so I think the key for Notre Dame is you have to get pressure on him early and often. Let him get out of the pocket because a lot of people think that that's where he's best. Well, second guess that one because really that's where he's going to make most of his mistakes. I'm going to take Notre Dame, but I'm going to kick myself because I think USC will play up to their level.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to take Notre Dame in this one. I thought if we were going to see anything from USC, it would be after their loss. It would take a lot of the pressure off. And Sam Darnold just hasn't been very protective of the football. And I think that's a big mistake, thinking that you have to win the Heisman Trophy on every throw and you lose to Washington State. And then they come out and they barely won last week and against Utah. And Utah's a good team, but I thought they would really just run away with games after that loss, and they haven't done it. So I'm going to take Notre Dame. Michigan at Penn State. Penn State favored by 8.
Yeah, give me Penn State.
Okay, Penn State all the way pretty easily?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna take Michigan in this to keep it close just because their defense is great. I think Penn State wins the game. Let's do a couple quick NFL games.
Let's get one more in here. One more NFL. We're getting the playout music.
Yeah,
we talked about poop and cats too much today.
Yes. Seahawks,
that's my problem.
Seahawks, Giants.
This is tough.
Oh, wait. Let me get you.
Yeah, what's the line?
I've got it somewhere here. Giants +4.
Are you serious?
+4. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Give me the Seahawks.
Seahawks easily just run away with it. The Giants gonna get their first win.
No, just give me the Seahawks.
All right, I'll take the Seahawks too. All right, kids. Well, thanks for joining us. Big thanks to Vancouver Ford for having us out for tailgate days. It's always fun. Big thanks to Joe Fisher back at the studio. And we're hoping and everybody share your thoughts with Sue. Hopefully he doesn't die from the poops.
Hopefully. God.
All right, everybody have a great weekend. We're back. I'm out of town next week. It's you and Joe next Saturday. Sit
Joe and
say it every Saturday, 9 to 11. This is 1080 The Fan. Have a great weekend.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.